Yeah.
You take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 9. I'll be reading verses 1 through 13, and I'll reference Scott and standing in the Romans chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies to me through the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the benefit of my brothers and sisters, my own flesh and blood. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the temple service, and the promises. The ancestors are theirs, and from them, by physical descent, came the Christ, who is God over all, praised forever. Amen. Now, it is not as though the word of God has failed, because not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Neither are all of Abraham's children his descendants. On the contrary, your offspring will be traced through Isaac. That is, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but the children of the promise are considered to be the offspring. For this is the statement of the promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah will have a son. And not only that, but Rebecca conceived children through one man, her father Isaac. For though her sons had not been born yet or done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose according to election might stand, not from works, but from the one who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, I have loved Jacob, but I have hated Esau. Sunday, we were looking at the last verses 31 through 39 in chapter 8, and looking at in the midst of everything that Paul's been talking about, can we succeed? Can we win? And Paul presented seven questions. First, what can we say about these things? What were those things he was talking about? About how God's salvation is by faith, and it's not anything we can do. And Paul says we need to praise God for these things, not be apathetic. And then Paul's second question, if God is for us, who is against us? And remember, God is the one that created everything. Who is more powerful than God? No one. Now, who can try and lead us away from God's plan? Satan can. Our own sinful nature can. And then Paul's third question, if God did not spare his son, how will he not also grant us everything we need for both life and salvation? God will grant everything we need. It's all about him. The fourth question, who can bring an accusation against God's elect? Well, Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. But Satan is another created creature, part of God's creation. He has to answer to God. He can accuse the believers. But our defense attorney is Jesus. And God the Father is the judge. So it doesn't matter what Satan accuses us of. If we have been forgiven, the judgment will be innocent. Because the blood of the Lamb has covered all our guilt. The fifth question. Since it is God who justifies, that's the one that makes us declared innocent. Who is it that condemns? Is there anyone that Satan can appeal to when God says innocent, justified? No. There is no Supreme Court of God. He is the Supreme Court. And the sixth question, Jesus intercedes for us, so who can separate us from the love of Christ? Is there anything more powerful than God? No. And then Paul explains one. Can events separate us from the love of God? Can affliction, can distress, can persecution, can famine, can nakedness, can danger, can the sword separate us from the love of God? No. And then Paul goes on to say, in Christ we are more than conquerors. Paul says, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, that means if we die, we're not separated from God's love. If we live, we're not separated from God's love. Angels nor rulers, that's heavenly angels that serve God, and demons who reject not the service to God, that's still our famous for them. They can't separate us from the love of God. Things present or things to come. Nothing in all of time can separate us from God. Nor powers, any other power, any earthly power. Nor height, nor depth. You can't fly a spaceship far enough away to be separated from God. You can't get something so small that you have to see with an electron microscope that you can separate from God. God is there in the greatest height and the smallest depth. Nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So in case you think, and Paul missed something, Paul added that, any other created thing, that means everything else, because everything except God is created by God. And so that leads us to chapter 9. In the church, or churches that met the believers in Rome, there were Jewish background people and Gentiles, and the Gentiles were the majority. And some people might ask about Israel. Has God abandoned Israel? Has God turned everything over to the Gentiles? Now, right now, as I speak, and for the past few days, Israel and the United States and several other countries have been fighting a war to protect Israel. Because God has said in His Word, those who curse Israel will be cursed, and those who bless Israel will be blessed. And God does not abandon His promise to Israel. Even though many in Israel have rejected the offer of salvation that Jesus provided, not only today, but at the time that Paul was writing the letter to Rome. But there were believers all through the world that had a Jewish background. So Paul is answering the question, what about the people with Jewish background? Has God just changed His plan and gone with a different plan? Paul first starts out saying, I'm speaking the truth, I'm not lying. He's saying, I'm not making up a story just to make a point. I'm not like Uncle Remus or Aesop and Aesop's Fables or Uncle Remus's Tales or Mother Goose and her stories or Dr. Seuss or any of those. They make up stories to try to illustrate a point about different character traits that we need to follow. Paul's saying, I'm not making up a story just to make a point. I'm telling the truth. And here's the truth. If it were possible, I would give up my salvation, Paul is saying, if it meant that Israel would be saved. But we know salvation is not by works. So it doesn't matter what Paul would do, he can't save the rest of Israel. Salvation is by working on himself. Paul Then goes on and says, and asks, has God abandoned the Israelite wives, the Jews? And then Paul explains a lot of the things that came from the Jewish heritage. It says, theirs is the adoption. God chose Abraham, chose Isaac, chose Jacob. The glory, and the glory is talking about the Shekinah glory cloud that is seen in Exodus 16, Exodus 10, Exodus 24, 17, 40, 30, 4, the Shekinah glory cloud. They saw the glory of God as a pillar of fire at night and a cloud during the day. They saw the glory of God, the Israelites. The covenants. God made covenants with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David. The giving of the law. Moses went to the top of Mount Sinai, and God gave him the commandments. The temple service, the worship of God in the temple, which foreshadowed what Jesus was going to do, when he was the ultimate sacrificial lamb. In the holy place, there's the bread of the presence there. And on another side is the golden lampstand. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus also said, I am the bread of life. And then there was a curtain separating the holy place from the most holy place. And there was the Ark of the Covenant. The place that represented God's presence and message to the people. And when Jesus said it was finished on the cross, that curtain separating man from the most holy place was torn from the top of the mountain. The promises, the ancestors, and then it says in verse 5, the ancestors were theirs, and from them, by physical descent, came the Christ. So Jesus came through the descent of a Jewish heritage. But notice what it says about Jesus Christ. It doesn't just say he was a great teacher. He was a great man, it says, the Christ, who is God over all. Jesus is God, and he's to be praised forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's what Paul says there. I don't know if he wanted people to say amen when he got to that point in his letter, but amen and so be it. That's right. Paul is saying, that's right. Jesus is God forever. Now, did God's plan fail? Did he have to switch to a different plan? No. God's plan has not failed. Then he said, not all of Israel are Israel. There are people that are descendants of Jacob, Israel, who are only physical descendants of Jacob, Israel. But there are also spiritual descendants of Jacob, Israel. And Jacob is one name for Israel. Israel is another name for Israel. Jacob and Israel are the two sides of the same coin. Those that rejected the Messiah, the Christ, are those of just physical Israel. Those that accepted, like Paul and the people in the church in Rome that Paul is writing this letter to, they're the spiritual Israel. So there's two aspects of Israel. Are you just a physical descent, or are you spiritual descent? If you go to Israel today, there are many are not even synagogue worshipers. They're just Jewish heritage that live a secular life in the nation of Israel. But there are some that go to synagogue, that worship the God of the Old Testament, which is the same as the God of the New Testament. Recognize the God of the New Testament being the same as the God of the Old Testament. There are also in Israel people that recognize Jesus as the Messiah that are of Jewish background. Today it's the same as it was in the time of Paul. There are people that have accepted God's full claim. There are those thinkers in other ways. And then Paul goes on to say, neither are all of Abraham's children his descendants. On the contrary, your offspring will be traced through Isaac. That is, it is not the children of physical descent who are God's children, but the children of the promise who are considered the offspring. For this is the statement of the promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah will have a son. Now, you might not remember, Abraham had another son before Isaac was born. His name was Ishmael. Abraham, through Hagar, had a son named Ishmael. After Sarah died, Abraham married again to a woman named Keturah. And he had other children through Keturah. But it was the son that came through Sarah that's the son of promise. There are other children genetically tied to Abraham that are not the spiritual descendants of Abraham. They do not follow in his example of faith. Then, it didn't depend on just who the wife was. Isaac, his wife Rebecca, had two sons. And God said to Rebecca, the older will serve the younger. And even to the point that God said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau I hated. Now that doesn't mean that God doesn't want the descendants of Esau to be saved. It just means God's plan worked through a specific individual. It worked through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob. That's God had a plan to work through the people he wanted to work through. And it is God who chooses who he's going to use for which purpose. Now Sunday we're going to continue on in the study, and what about Israel part one is the name of this sermon. But what about Israel part two is the name of Sunday's sermon. We'll continue with that. And we'll look at who are we to challenge and think we can give God a better plan than what he's doing right now? The world is full of people that think they have a better plan than other people. When we're growing up, we're going to remember that we have a plan, our parents have a different plan. As we become parents, we find out we have a plan, but our kids have a different plan. Well, God has a plan, and he's the one in charge. He's the one that knows the future. He's the one that has the power. We are just lumps of clay. And God can make us into whatever he wants to make us into, to fit into his plan. Some people he puts where they influence one group. Some people he puts where they influence another group. Some people he puts in positions they don't know who they're influencing until later on they find out, oh, I didn't realize. There's an old song that goes, thank you. And talks about a guy that died and went to heaven with all kinds of people. Thank you, because of what you did led me to Christ. being useful, although that's plenty, not trying to call it all change. E is no. Dear Lord, I thank you that we will be here to worship you, to listen to your word, to sing praises. Let us remember, you are God, and you are to be forever.